The following is a lecture entitled Achieve Ultimate Success, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Athikari, recorded on July 9th, 2016 at Urban Yoga Center in Melbourne, Australia.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadudam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadyan Deshatarine. So I've been informed tonight I'm speaking about success. In this world, people are running after success. I want to be successful. My question is this. Which is better, temporary success or permanent success? If you think about it, all the successes of this world are temporary. You may become rich. You may become famous, just like that Napoleon. He was very, very famous. He was so famous, they made one statue in Paris. Napoleon is France, and France is Napoleon. But where is Napoleon now? The statue is still there. France is still there. Where is Napoleon, you see? According to his karma, maybe he's a rat running around the Eiffel Tower, you see. So, material success is very nice. According to your karma, you may become very successful in the material world, you see. But those successes, they come and go like the changes of the seasons. So we really want to get that success which is permanent. Then we need to look beyond the realm of materialism into the realm of spirituality. Because there we can find success that never goes away. My spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, spoke very wonderfully about the ultimate success. He explained in this way. He said, the ultimate success is to fall in love with God. You see? Doesn't matter, Hindu, Christian, Muslim, Jew, these are actually material considerations. But to actually fall in love with God, you see, that is the real success. To revive that lost loving relationship with the Supreme, the source of all existence. We didn't pop out of nothing. Nothing pops out of nothing. There's actually a source for existence. Of course, this runs contrary to the teachings of Dr. Stephen Hawking. He says everything comes out of nothing. But I thought science means observation and experiment. You can prove it in the lab. They've never taken anything out of nothing in the laboratory. Every scientific experiment has always been something coming out of something. So that from that we can conclude, we can logically deduce that there is something there, there is some substance, some original source of everything. And by further studies, we can actually analyze and find out that that source is a person. Now, how's that possible? It seems like maybe a leap of faith, but if you analyze it very carefully and intelligently, you can understand how that source of all existence, indeed must possess personality. So I'll give you a way of understanding this. If every day I brought you some gold, 1 kilo of gold, here's your morning kilo, just like the milkman brings your milk in the old days. Of course, nowadays, but when I was a kid, the milkman would deliver the milk to your house. Every morning the milkman would come. The old days in America. I don't know about Australia, but so just imagine you have a gold man. Every day he brings you 1 kilo of gold. Wow. 1 kilo is worth a lot of money. Every day you get a kilo. And you ask him, well, this is wonderful. I mean, where are you getting all this gold from? Well, I have a gold mine over here. And outside of town, well, really, how much gold do you have in the gold mine? Oh, there's no gold in the gold mine. That's, of course, there has to be gold in the gold mine if you're going to get gold out of the gold mine. So, and there is an existential mine from which everything is ultimately coming, you see. An existential mine is there. And since I'm a person and you're a person, and there's so many persons, everywhere we find persons, 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 persons. So you can't get a person out of an impersonal existential mind. Just as you cannot derive gold from a goldless gold mine, you cannot derive personalities from an impersonal existential mind. A mine, I mean to say. So we can logically understand, and it's actually confirmed by great realized teachers, great yogis and rishis and saints throughout history, have actually confirmed there's actually a person behind the existence. Some call him Allah, some call him Jehovah, some call him Krishna. You see, different names. Christ's name is also can be used. So there's different names. We're not talking about any particular religion here. We're talking about spirituality in its pure form. To understand there's a person who's the source of all existence. We're coming from that person. That's where we originate. So, by the arrangement of that person, as stated in the Vedic wisdom, Katha Upanishad, Eko Bahonam Yovidadati Kamam, that one supreme person, he's providing everything for all of us plural persons. He's the singular and we're the plural. So that original person is providing all of our necessities. So, naturally, one would feel grateful. That original person is providing everything. So how can I reciprocate with that person? That's called love. You see? Love means reciprocation. When you're kind to me, and I repay you with kindness, that's called love or reciprocation. So, it's a fact that those who do not engage in loving relationships are miserable. It's interesting, there was one study done by one teacher in her elementary school classroom. This is quite amazing when you hear about it and think about it. So she had each student cultivate 2 plants of the similar species with the same amount of sunshine, the same amount of water, and the same amount of fertilizer. So, but with one plant, the student would be all very, oh, you're a very nice plant, I love you, I hope you flourish very nicely. The other plant, I hope you're no good, you're rotten. Like, you know, being really nasty to that other plant. And it's amazing, the plants that got the sweet words thrive, and the ones that got the nasty words shriveled up. in the whole classroom. So even plants know what love is. Could you imagine? Even plants know what love is, you see. So love is a very important thing, you see. That's why of all the types, there are many types of yoga. There's Hatha yoga, Jnana yoga, Ashtanga yoga. There's so many yogas. But in Bhagavad Gita, the original Vedic wisdom of India, Lord Krishna says, of all these yogas, the yoga of love, that is the most important yoga, you see. So I'm a teacher, my guru is a teacher of the yoga of love, bhakti. So that's what I've been doing the last 45 years, teaching the science of bhakti yoga all over the world. The yoga of love. The beauty of the yoga of love is this. Just as when you water the root of a tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. Just as when you feed your belly, every part of your body gets nourished, isn't it? When you eat, do you rub the rice all over your, up and down your arms and on your knee, you rub the rice in? I mean, every part of your body needs nutrition, doesn't it? But do you separately feed each part of the body or you just give everything to the belly? You see? Actually, we give everything to the belly. And by giving everything to the belly then distributes to the whole body through the bloodstream. So bhakti yoga is the science, the yogic system of giving your love to that original supreme person. If you're a Muslim, you can call him Allah. If you're a Hindu, you can call him Krishna or Ram. If you're a Christian, you can call him Christ, you see. The same principle. It's a universal science. You give your love to that supreme person. And then by giving your love to that supreme person, that love then is distributed universally. Now this is powerful stuff, you see. The more you can expand your loving relationships, the more you become happy, you see. If you're completely selfish, like the classic example of Ebenezer Scrooge, he was miserable. But when he started becoming more loving, you see. On Christmas Day, he decided to come out of his Scrooge consciousness and become a loving person. And he was so happy, you see. So the more you become loving, actually, the more you become happy. So bhakti yoga is the science of perfecting, of taking love to the ultimate degree. By mastering the art of giving your love to that supreme person, you achieve the ultimate success, the ultimate happiness, and you do the highest welfare for every living entity throughout the entire universe, even those you've never even met. Actually, there's living entities on all levels, not just human beings. I gave the example of the plants. They're also living entities. This is called Atma. The Supreme Person is called Paramatma, or the Supreme Atma. And the parts and parcels of him, they are the Atmas, or they're called Jivatmas. So we are all Atmas, but that we are actually spiritual beings. These bodies we have right now, as human, as animal, as plant, as male, female, white, black, Australian, American, etc., are just garments that we're wearing right now. Right now, you're wearing the garment of an Australian woman or an Indian man or whatever it may be, you see. It is garment only. Your real identity is you are Atma. You're the spiritual being, the eternal spiritual being seated within. The Atma actually is seated within the heart of the body. We've done many experiments many times. It's interesting. We take a group of people, we say, well, point to your nose, point to your ear, point to your forehead, point to yourself. Almost everybody points right here. But that's actually where the Atma is situated. We learned from the Vedic scriptures, the Atma is seated within the heart, a tiny spiritual particle seated right here, the driver's seat. And this vehicle known as the human body is right here, you see. And practically everybody will point right here to their self. Why don't they point here? They point here intuitively, you see. So the science of how to perfectly harmonize that individual Atma with the supreme Atma, you see, This is called Bhakti Yoga, and it's the ultimate success that you can achieve. Because when this body will drop today or tomorrow or next year or 20 years from now, but it's going to drop. But your Atma never drops. Your Atma is eternal. So when you can actually perfect your relationship with the Supreme Atma, Krishna, God, Jehovah, Allah, Buddha, when you can actually reconnect in a pure loving relationship with that Supreme Person, you achieve a state of peacefulness, of serenity, of joyfulness, of love, of compassion, of intelligence, of light, which is unparalleled by any success that you can achieve in this world. The most successful people in history actually are the spiritualists. Those who perfect their loving relationship with the Supreme, they are the topmost successful people because their success simply goes after death, it simply continues to increase more and more and more. Everyone else who is materially successful, their success is finished at the time of death. I mean, it's sad. Where's John Lennon now? I mean, I really like John Lennon. I love the Beatles. But where is he now, you see? Or George Harrison, you see? So these successes, they come and go in this material world, according to our karma, you see. But if you can actually learn this art of spiritual success by perfecting the yoga system, yoga actually means link or yoke. Actually, even it's confirmed in the dictionary. I looked up the word yoga in the dictionary. It said this. No, excuse me. I had it backwards. I looked at the word yoke in the dictionary. And it says this word yoke, English word yoke, is an etymological derivation of the word from the word Sanskrit word yoga. So yoga, it means to yoke with the Supreme Consciousness. You are individual consciousness and there's a Supreme Consciousness. So when you yoke with that Supreme Consciousness, then you're called a yogi. In the highest sense, you're a yogi. The other yogas are helpful. Hatha yoga, you see, jnana yoga, these help you. Can help you come to that point. But the perfection of yoga is when you fully dovetail your individual consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. When you learn how to perfectly harmonize your consciousness. This is why meditation is a very, very important tool. Just like my guru taught me to chant this particular mantra for meditation. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. I've been chanting it every day for 45 years now, and wow, what you get from it is unbelievable. It seems, people say, well, how could you... Some people, the skeptics say, well, come on, it's just like saying anything. Mary had a little lamb, a little lamb, a little lamb. A row, row, row your boat. It's just the same thing, but actually it's not. These mantras come from the ancient Vedic scriptures, which are actually originally given by God himself at the beginning of the universe, 155 trillion years ago. These were sacred vibrations given by God himself. They could actually liberate you from this material existence. Golokera Harinama Sankirtana. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. One great realized songwriter and spiritual master named Narottam Das Thakur, he said in this way, Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. The holy name of the Supreme Person is directly being imported from the spiritual world. It's a special dispensation. It's actually passing through all the coverings of the universe. It's coming here to us. It's called Shabda Brahman, or spiritual sound vibration. By contacting the spiritual sound vibration, this is called actually Nama Avatar. You may have heard the word avatar. Now, the Avatar movie, by the way, is not the accurate meaning of avatar. Hollywood capitalized on it. Avatar actually is a Sanskrit word. It means one who descends from the spiritual world into the material world. That's the actual meaning of avatar. So the name, the nama, the sacred vibration, is like the om syllable, also is a sacred vibration. But these sacred vibrations, they are called nam avatar. The holy, the supreme person himself appears in this world in the form of the sound vibration of his name, Krishna, or Rama, or Allah, you see. So by meditating on this sound vibration, Krishna, or Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, which makes it more powerful, with a Hare mixed in, by this meditation on the sound vibration, you're actually being carried beyond this material existence into the spiritual world. You can go on a magic carpet ride every evening in your home, or every morning in your home. This is my experience back in 1968. I was a young spiritual seeker living all alone in Denver, Colorado, looking for spiritual enlightenment. And one friend of mine turned me on to this mantra that he had picked up when he was a hippie in Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco. And I started chanting it, and wow, it was amazing. Like, you just go right through the coverings of the universe. And then later on, I found out there was a movement. I didn't even know about the Hare Krishna people at that time. Later, I found out there was a movement. A whole movement of people were chanting it. But I just learned from a hippie friend of mine, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I was relishing it like anything. Wow, this is amazing. I would just get home from work every night. I was selling handkerchiefs during the Christmas rush even at the downtown department store. I was working in the men's handkerchief department, not a very spiritual job. But I would walk home every evening in the chilly Denver evening, about 20 blocks from downtown to my apartment. And I had a picture of Krishna and Radha there. I made a little altar, and I would sit down. I would light a candle and light some incense, and I'd turn out all the lights and just sit there with the candle and go, Hare Krishna, and just poof, it was an amazing experience. So now I have a mission. I'm trying to turn the whole world on to this, you see, because I know that this actually will solve all the problems of the world. In fact, my spiritual master ordered me to deliver the world, you see. So now I'm on a mission. I'm circling the globe twice. I'm circling the globe twice every year with my beloved wife here, Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi. We're a team, a teaching team. So my mission, actually, to deliver the whole world, because I know that this Hare Krishna mantra can solve all the problems. If you checked out the news lately, you know it's really it's going from bad to worse and from worse to worst. And they just shot 5 policemen dead in Dallas yesterday, who were just guarding a rally. They were just peacefully guarding they were shot dead by a sniper. 5 policemen were shot dead by a sniper in Dallas, Texas. Same place where they shot Kennedy dead with a sniper, you see. So it's getting really heavy, heavier and heavier, and then all the terrorism going on in the Middle East, in Europe. And that thing in Orlando, it's just getting really, really bad. So this Hare Krishna mantra especially is powerful for counteracting the influence of this age. We're in an age now called the Kali Yuga, the age of materialism. And that age by nature degrades itself further and further. But the good news is, it's largely predicted there will be a spiritual renaissance. We used to sing this song, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And actually, it's true. But it's coming slowly. There is a spiritual age coming. It actually began 500 years ago with the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Bengal, in India. There is a renaissance, and it's all centered on the vibrating the holy name of God. Whether you chant Krishna or Allah or Jehovah, the same principle. It's called Nama Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the names of God. So this actually will solve all the problems of the world. So our mission is to encourage everyone, wherever their faith is, to chant the names of God according to their faith, or if they don't have any particular faith, they can try this Hare Krishna mantra. We encourage everyone to really get into vibrating the name of God, you see, in your personal meditations and when you come together with in groups, because this congregational chanting of the holy names of God has the power to completely drive away the materialistic influence of the age and bring in a beautiful dawning of spirituality on this planet. There'll be perfect peace and harmony. There won't be, actually, everything will become beautiful. The weather will, instead of excessive rain or not enough rain, there'll be the rain will become balanced. There'll be just the right amount of rain. The weather, instead of like these heavy storms that kill so many people, even nature will become in a state of harmony. The more that the sacred names of God can be vibrated throughout the world. So I was absolutely delighted to come up the stairwell and hear you all chanting Hare Krishna. Wow, this is great. This is my kind of people here. People are chanting Hare Krishna, you see. This is wonderful. Because this is a spiritual revolution, you see. This is a spiritual revolution. We have to work together and revolutionize this planet. Otherwise, it's going down, really going down. But if we work together, we team up together, it's called spiritual synergy, you see. 1 plus 1 normally equals 2, and 2 plus 1 equals 3, but actually by the process of synergy, and goes, 2 times 2 equals 4, and 4 times 4 equals 16. So the beauty of the spiritual energy is this: it's synergetic. Any little bit of effort you put into spirituality it's very subtle. We can't really see it always in the beginning, but you can trust me. Any energy you put into spirituality has synergetic results, far beyond what you can even expect. Today I just studied, I gave a lecture about a yogi. Had amazing power. It's like we're very proud of our big double-decker Qantas airplanes. Actually, I'm flying on one to Los Angeles, double-decker. But next week, on Thursday, I'm flying to L.A. in one of those double-deckers. But actually, these are nothing. There was a yogi who was able to make a whole city by yogic power in the ancient times. A whole city that went flying all over the universe with no fossil fuel burning up. The yogic power is so amazing. And he was so complete. He was actually a very austere yogi, just sitting in the wilderness doing his yogic austerities. And he was able to create this city by his yogic power. And he was amazed. He himself was amazed at what a thing he could do. He didn't realize he had that much power. So in the same way, you don't realize how much power you have, you see. If you can take this, if you can take up this yoga, the yoga of love of the Supreme Person, you'll be amazed at how much power you actually have to change the world around you. You can actually be a spiritual revolutionary to have a powerful impact wherever you are, anywhere, wherever you go, anywhere in the world, in your neighborhood or wherever you may be. And you can have a powerful impact to revolutionize this planet just by trying to achieve that success of love the Supreme Person. You see? So I don't know what my time limit is. I've been going for... what's the schedule? What's my schedule? It's now... I don't want everybody to fall asleep over here and get bored, you know. Now we have papers. If you have any questions, by the way, I love questions and I love challenges also. You think I'm crazy? Let me know. Let me know why you think I'm crazy. You nut. Don't you realize that Stephen Hawking knows where it's at? Maybe you're as fast as Stephen Hawking and you think I'm really crazy to say that he's wrong. I'd like any feedback or... Feel free, you have a piece of paper. This is your chance to say, have your say or to ask your questions. So what is my cutoff then? How long am I supposed to talk for? I'm going for a half an hour here. 15 more minutes. Maybe we can have some... I'd like to hear what you all have to say. What is... What is your opinion of success in life? What would you say success is, my dear lady? I'm a little deaf. I'm going to have it repeated for me. What do you? What in your opinion? What is the greatest success in life? What would be the greatest success in life in your opinion?
Achieving love.
Yes, and what is the perfection of love? What is the perfection of love?
Compassion.
Huh?
Compassion.
Yeah. Who would like to offer their opinion, their idea? What is the perfection of compassion? Who would like to, anyone like to say? What is the perfection of compassion? I like her idea of compassion. It's very good. How can you perfect, in other words, the perfection of, I'll give the answer. The perfection of compassion is to be able to manifest compassion for every single living entity, not just theoretically, but practically. Be able to act for the highest welfare of every living entity throughout all of existence at every minute. That's the perfection of compassion, you see. That gets back to bhakti yoga, you see. When you water the root, all the leaves and branches are nourished. So yes, this is the perfection of compassion. When you reconnect yourself, when you give your love to the Supreme Person, to God, then that love then goes, when you actually practice loving devotion to the Supreme Person under the guidance of an expert spiritual master who can train you how to do it properly, then you become perfect in your love of all living entities. You manifest perfect compassion for all living entities throughout all of existence. So this is another important principle. You actually need a teacher, like in any science you may study. chemistry, medicine, guitar playing, you know, whatever you're into. A teacher is what you need to really become expert and qualified in that particular subject. So the same thing is true in the science of bhakti yoga. You need a bhakti yoga master who can teach you how to master this art of bhakti yoga. So my master ordered me to be a master, so I'm trying my best. And I do have a course available, by the way. If you're interested, you just go to joincourse.com. Pretty simple. And you get something every day in your email. It's called the Ultimate Self-Realization Course. And you also get, if you like to read, you get about, it's just a short read. If you don't like to read, there's also a called video for the day that comes with it. About a 2-minute video. A mini lesson on self-realization. If you're just interested in the video, you can go to videoforthedaycom and watch the, and see the video every day. Videoforthedaycom. So, if we're not connected, you see, if we're not actually connecting with the Supreme in a loving relationship, then we're disconnected. It's like a light bulb which is unscrewed, it's not tightened into the socket, you see. So the modern day society, we're actually disconnected. We're not connected. So that's why we're trying to teach people how to become connected now. Yoga means to connect with the Supreme. That's the real meaning of yoga. So I hope these words have made some sense to you all, and we can stop here. So there's no questions. Sir. There's no questions. We can stop here and go to the next part of the program. Yes, question. You can ask it verbally. It's okay, because I'm a little deaf. I may have to repeat it, but go ahead. What is it?
What way the ego can show us the way? Ego
can show ego. How can it show us in ourselves? Because
How can
oneself, see oneself, you can say.
How to see oneself?
Yeah. No, how does the ego show, like how do we know when it's our ego? Because sometimes we can't recognize our ego, that's what it says.
Can't recognize your ego.
How to realize your true self? Like how to realize who you're, what you really are and who you really are?
Yes, because I heard that ego can show in different ways.
Ego can show in different ways.
Well, the thing is, people talk about ego, but they don't realize there's two egos. There's the real ego and the false ego. The real ego is who you actually are, an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with the Supreme Person. That's the real ego. You're actually a servant of God, or Krishna, or Rama, or Allah. The real ego is you're the eternal servant of God. You see, the false ego is, I'm a spiritual being, the eternal servant of God. That's the real ego. The real ego means identity. The false ego is, I think I'm this body, and therefore my happiness in life is simply to gratify this body, even if it's the expense of other people, you see. So the false ego makes you selfish and greedy and exploitative when you're in the false ego consciousness. You tend to be exploitative of others and non-compassionate. But the more you realize the true ego, the spiritual being within, who's the servant of God and thus automatically the servant of all living entities who are part and parcel of God, that real ego consciousness then liberates you. So the way to actually weed yourself free of the false egoistic mentality and to actually awaken and strengthen the genuine ego within is by the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. And authorized scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita are a textbook of how to do that. You study the Bhagavad Gita very carefully under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, then you'll be able to learn how to distinguish between the real ego and the false ego within yourself, you see. See, right now we're totally caught up in false ego in the beginning, and we're suffering because of them. But as you gradually mature in your meditation and your practice of yoga, then you can gradually distinguish between the two, the higher self and the lower self, you see. And gradually your higher self becomes stronger and your lower self finally just fades away. Like when they shoot a rocket in outer space, there's a booster rocket that gets it out there and the booster drops off, you see. You drop off that false ego and you fly high in the spiritual sky within your heart at every minute. So it takes training, it takes time, but if you study under a bona fide spiritual master, as I have done for the last 45 years, then you experience an incredible transformation within your heart. Incredible transformation. And that blows any other type of success into this world completely out of the water. You see? Who needs this success or that success? To be a famous rock star or millionaire or whatever it may be. It's nothing compared to this. Once you actually realize your true self, you realize there's nothing to be gained anywhere in the world. Nothing even comes close to this. So my book was put here. Maybe I'm supposed to ever plug my book. But this book is called Truth Works. And the title is actually very sutra-like. It's only two. It's a two-word sentence. Truth Works is a complete sentence. But it says a lot in very succinct two-word sentence. It explains everything that you need to know. That which is actually true works. It actually liberates you from all anxieties, from all temporalities, from all illusion, from all confusion, from all craziness, from all madness. What is actually true works. Untruth doesn't work. This material world right now we're living in, the whole society is based on untruth, that I am this body. That's the untruth. This untruth, that I am the body, it doesn't work. The society is falling apart because it's based on an untruth. I am this body. But the truth, I am spirit soul, part and parcel, servant of the Supreme, this truth actually works to liberate you. And this truth will actually work to completely transform human history in due course of time. It will happen. It's going to happen. It's predicted, and it is happening. And slowly, 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 over the next few centuries, we're going to see the whole world become completely spiritually enlightened. So now we're just planting the seeds for that total spiritual revolution, which will completely engulf the whole planet. But this book is there. What are those going for? How much?
$20.
$20 Australian. Okay. And you get a little signature too. I'll sign it and give you some words, personal words, just for you. Anybody who wants a book. So anyway, we'll go ahead and stop here. And I just want to thank you all. As we say in Texas, I want to thank y'all for coming out tonight. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, 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 Hari, Hari. Try this mantra on your own at home, and you'll be amazed how it takes you through the stratosphere into higher levels beyond this material existence. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.